Sometimes I do have the scripture. Sometimes I have a scripture, sometimes I won't. So tonight, there's not a big scripture which I would like our brother to read, so that's why I didn't give him a scripture. The message tonight is, I titled it, Doctor's Orders. The Doctor's Orders. I'm about to hit 40 in about a month. No, Justin knows how that feels, so I'm about to catch up. So I'm about to hit 40, so I'm getting to that age where I got to go see the doctor. I'm going to have to go see the doctor. I'm going to have to schedule appointments to visit the doctor and start taking care of those checkups and stuff like that. And it's men are stubborn when it comes to that, or at least I am, and a lot of men I know tend to be like my father and a lot of other people I know. And eventually that's what ends up hurting us, that we're just stubborn at it. We don't take care of ourselves at the right time. And the reason I called this sermon Doctor's Orders, I started with a story of a diabetic man. A man who didn't take care of himself, but finally had to go to the doctor. Goes to the doctor and doctor tells him, well, you got diabetes. You got diabetes, you didn't take care of yourself. Now you're gonna have to take insulin. You're diabetic, you need to take insulin. So the doctor gives him his medicine that he has to go pick up, and he tells him, you gotta start eating healthy, you gotta start working out. But you also have to take your insulin. So like all men, they go back home with their medicine and they start the first weeks, and the doctor says, come back in a month so we could see your progress. Come back in a month and we'll see how you're doing. So the first week starts off fine. He starts taking his insulin. He starts eating healthy. He starts exercising. He's doing good. The second week, he starts eating unhealthy again a little, maybe misses one or two days of exercise. He's taking his insulin. But by the third week, he's back to eating his hot dogs, his pizza, and maybe exercising maybe once a week. And he's like, by his third week, he's like, well, why take my insulin then if I haven't exercised or eaten healthy? So he stops taking his insulin. So he goes back to the doctor and he tells him, well, the doctor, a month later, well, let's see how you're doing. And he explains, well, I started off fine, but he explains how his weeks went. And my third week, I went back to normal. So I just started, well, why worry about taking the insulin if I'm not taking care of my health and not eating healthy and not exercising? Well, the doctor tells him, well, here, the problem is you at least should have taken your insulin. Why? Because that was going to help you what? Control what you had. I mean, and what I'm trying to get here is I'm using this story because the most important thing for a diabetic is for them to take what? Their insulin, to control their situation with that they need. And this man was thinking that his exercising, his eating healthy, was as important as his medication. And he continued harming his body for not following the doctor's instructions. So the doctor said, you should have at least have taken your insulin. Start taking your insulin. And the reason I brought this class is because you know how our Christian lives, we're technically under a doctor. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 17. This is when Matthew, the tax collector, invites Jesus to eat. And then the Pharisees are seen, and they start seeing Jesus, and they say, Jesus is eating with sinners and tax collectors. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus tells them, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus is trying to tell them, not here to help healthy people, but the sick. In other words, I'm not here to help people that are are good, but the sinful. The problem was the Pharisees didn't understand that they were also sinful and didn't want to accept Jesus as their doctor. But we also have to accept our situation spiritually. Spiritually, and as Jesus being, as God being our doctor who takes care of us, we have to follow his instructions. And the reason I bring this point up is because I wrote this this sermon back in 2012. Well, how long ago? 7 years ago? I was noticing newer Christians that had just recently been baptized at the church I was at. They would come in some Sunday mornings and they wouldn't partake. They were there, but they just wouldn't partake of the Lord's Supper. And I was like, why aren't you partaking of the Lord's Supper? At first, it seemed odd. I mean, they had been baptized a couple of weeks ago, but then all of a sudden, they weren't partaking of the Lord's Supper. And then later after the class, I asked them, what's going on? Why aren't you partaking? And that's what they told me. Well, I was doing good last week. I was reading my Bible. I was behaving. But then suddenly, I messed up. I started doing things that I wasn't supposed to be doing as a Christian. I stopped reading my Bible. And that's why I came Sunday, and I just didn't feel I should take the Lord's Supper. And the problem is they're missing out on the actual thing that helps them. The thing that helps us spiritually is remembering Christ's sacrifice. That's the medicine that we come here for. That's the medicine that keeps us going in our Christian lives. Understanding the grace of Christ in our lives. Sometimes we think, well, yeah, we do fail as Christians. Sometimes we sin and do things that we shouldn't. And we should be asking God for forgiveness, but never reject partaking of the Lord's Supper. On the contrary, that's what helps us. That's what strengthens us. Remembering why we're here. Remembering the reason we're here. The reason we're part of God's family. That sacrifice. And these young Christians that had just gotten baptized were committing this error. I was like, you have to come. We come to church to remember why we're here. Remember that somebody paid for our sins. We come to church to remember his sacrifice. And that's the important thing. They sinned. These young Christians were sinning during the week and felt bad. And when Sunday came around, they just didn't want to take the Lord's Supper. But it's important for them to partake of, for all of us as Christians to partake of it. To remember what Christ did for us. The Lord's Supper reminds us, makes us remember his grace. That's grace right there. It was that gift that we didn't deserve. We didn't deserve to have our sins forgiven. We didn't. God sent his Son, and his Son took our sins. He suffered our punishment for our sins. That's grace, a gift that we did not deserve. And it's important because we see something in 2 Corinthians. Paul had was going through something like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We see when Paul was complaining about a thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, when he's complaining about it to God, Christ responds, he answers to him because he was his apostle, and he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul goes on saying, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm not trying to say that, if we sin as Christians, it's all right. No, we know that we shouldn't be sinning as Christians. But when we fail, where should we go looking for our strength? In us? No. Paul said that the strength is in who? In Christ. And he says right there at the end, For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because whose power is in him? According to verse 9, Jesus says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In weakness. When we have issues, when we have problems, we have to come to Christ. We have to understand that he already did the hardest thing that had to be done. He paid for our sins. And we have to come to him to seek for that strength, to seek that strength that's going to keep us going every day of our lives. We can't give up. And remember, as Christ said to Paul, my grace is all you need. In other words, when he says, my grace is sufficient for you, what he's telling him right there is, my grace is all you need. I've already done everything for you. I already died for you. Remember that when you're going through a struggle. Remember that when you're going through hard times. I already did the hard part. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. The power of Christ working in us. That's what we need. We see when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're remembering that grace, his sacrifice. It's important that we understand that. We understand that it was he who did the hardest part. He is the one who strengthens us so we could keep on living our Christian lives. He is the medicine we need to be taking daily in our lives. Remembering his sacrifice, that's what's going to keep us going. That's what's going to keep us healthy and strong spiritually. Spiritually, it's important that we do that. That we study his scripture, that we study the Bible, that we read, that we try to understand God's will through his son, through Jesus, or the message he brought through his son. We have all we need in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we forget about that, and that's why we start getting all weak spiritually, because we forget to go to the person that's got the strength. You know, we start thinking we're strong enough now. Oh, I'm strong. I'm a strong Christian now. I could do this, I could do that. But we forget that the one who gave us the strength to do what we have to do was Christ. He was the one who saved us. It's important. This morning when we were studying, our brother Don is going over the scripture in 1 Kings, the 7,000 from Israel. The 7,000 from Israel, they understood where salvation came from. They understood that Jehovah was going to save them. Ahab had 7,000 faithful who understood that the one who gave the victory was God. And it's important that we as Christians also understand that. It's not going to come from our abilities, our strengths. It's going to come from who? From Christ. He is going to give us the strength to succeed in our lives, in our spiritual lives, to defeat temptations. We have to go and ask him for that and remember his grace. Remember that everything he's done gives us the power to succeed in our spiritual lives. It's very important that we do that. Let's read John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 53 through 57. John chapter 6, verse 53 to 57. I'm going to say a disclosure before I read this, because a lot of people, when they read this, they read it literally. They think about physical food instead of spiritual food. They think physically instead of spiritually. And the sad part is, when Jesus said these words, that's the same response the people that were hearing him gave them. They were thinking physically instead of spiritually. But as Christians, we have to understand that what Jesus is saying is spiritual. He's talking about eternal life, a spiritual life. So let's read John chapter 6, verse 53 through 57. Oh, let's read 52 so you understand what I was just talking about. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You have no life in you. Now, obviously, if you're thinking physically and not spiritually, it's kind of doesn't Doesn't make sense, right? How am I going to eat somebody's flesh or drink their blood? That's what vampires do, or some weird stuff like that, right? It's all spiritual. It's all spiritual. Jesus is speaking in spiritual terms. And he's saying that whoever eats, in verse 54, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. And let's keep on reading to verse 57. For my flesh, Jesus says, is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Because of me. It's important that we understand that last part. We're not going to live because of ourselves, right? Well, how are we going to live? Because of him. Because of me, says Jesus. Because we're spiritually feeding ourselves what? His sacrifice, what he did for us on the cross. We're remembering that sacrifice. That's what nourishes us. Why do we eat? Well, it's going to the physical sense. Why do we eat? I mean, most of the time I eat because I'm craving. But technically, when we eat, it should be because we're hungry, correct? And if we don't get any food, we're not going to have any energy. And we're going to be, eventually we'll faint, or we won't be able to keep on going with our daily routine, living our lives like we're supposed to. We'll either faint or pass out because we got no more energy in us, and that's it. That's the purpose of food, to give us the strength, to give us energy, to keep us going. And if we deny ourselves the spiritual food, which is Jesus, his sacrifice, what he did for us, how far are we going to go spiritually? It's not far. And obviously, Christ is telling us right here, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Will live because of me. It's very important that we always understand that. We always understand that in the beginning of this chapter 6, those Jews were looking for Jesus because they wanted to eat the bread again, the physical bread, but not the spiritual bread, the bread that gives eternal life, his sacrifice. John chapter 6 from verse 60 onwards. It says, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? It's interesting. He says these words, and what happens to all those 5,000 supposed disciples that were following him? They're like, well, this is hard. This is a hard teaching. I can't go along with this. Well, they were thinking in a different manner. They weren't thinking spiritually. And then let's keep on reading right there when it says, in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is, and I want you to understand what he's saying in verse 63. He's trying to tell him what I'm talking to you about is spiritual food. I'm trying to feed your spirits. In verse 63, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. And they are life. He had it. All he was saying was spiritual. This, what I'm talking to you is to give you spiritual life. What I'm trying to tell you is that my sacrifice is what's going to keep you guys going. Remembering what I did for you on the cross, that I gave my life, my body, and my blood for you, that's what's going to keep you going. That's what's going to strengthen you. That's what's going to give you life. And it's very important that we understand that so that we could live our life the correct way that Jesus wants us to live. Let me see. I still got about 10 more minutes. I just don't want to go over like sometimes I do. So I want to. We're still good on time.
Let's open our Bibles now to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. It says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul is telling the Jews from Galatia, he tells all the Christians from Galatia, he's telling them in Galatians 3, verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? He's telling them, when you came to Jesus Christ to be baptized for your sins, you confessed that His death on the cross forgave you your sins, that it was His sacrifice that saves you. And now you're trying to do it on your own by going back to the law, by your own means, by your flesh. Now you're trying to save yourselves. He's telling them that to the Galatians. He's saying, and it's important that we understand it, because he's telling them, we began our Christian lives believing in the power of Christ, and we are now trying to become perfect by our human effort. By our human effort. That's what he was telling them in Galatians. We came to Christ believing in His power and the saving power of grace that He died on the cross for us. And now we're trying to save ourselves by our efforts? It's illogical. We can't do that. We can't do that. So we have to always have our eyes where? On the cross. That, what would Paul say later? I keep my eyes where? On the cross. Christ Jesus' sacrifice paid for me. And that's what keeps me going. His love that He showed on the cross, that's what keeps me going. And that's what we as Christians come together to remember. It encourages us to keep on going. It's hard out there during the week. We don't see each other every day. No, we just maybe once a week or twice a week. But during the week, we all are being tempted wherever we're at work, at school, wherever we're at. We all have the devil and tempting us, trying to get us to stray away, to fall back. But we come and we remember that Christ Jesus, He paid for our sins. And that strengthens us. Putting our trust in who? In Christ. Putting our trust in Him. That's what keeps us going. But let's not commit the same error the Galatians were doing. That they were forgetting that the reason they're being saved is because of Jesus. But no, they were trying to do it on their effort again. Doing it by their effort, by their own strength. In Galatians. Right there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and verse 27. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and verse 27. It says, Paul says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. What happens when we come, when we repent of our sins, we confess Christ as our Savior, and we're baptized? We put on who? Christ. See, right? Well, we start off correctly, believing in the power of Christ, believing that having Him in our lives is going to help us succeed. But eventually, people end up like the Galatians. What did they end up? What were they ending up doing? Taking off who? Christ. They were taking off Christ. They were taking Him off. They put on Christ at the baptism, but now they were starting to take Him off by believing again in what? In the law. In the law, and believing that by their efforts they were going to be saved. It's a sad situation. What was going on in Galatians? That the brothers in the church were thinking this way. And it's very important that we never think that way. That we always remember that where our strength, our spiritual strength, comes from to continue our daily Christian lives. And let's not forget the importance of being here and partaking of his body. I still got a couple more minutes left. But we're about to be done, and I want to finish right there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to read in from verse 29 through 30 in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 29 through 30, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For they," and then verse 30 is very important, "for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep," It's important that we understand that in verse 30, Paul is not referring to physical health. He's not saying, "Oh, some of you have the flu, others are diabetic," or he's not referring to any physical illness. Paul is referring to spiritual situation that is happening in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." What does he mean by sleep? That they're spiritually what? Dead. Weak. Okay, we understand when a person's weak, they're struggling, they're suffering. We understand when they're sick, it's getting worse. They're about to fall away. But when the Bible says, it usually refers to sleep, they're referring to somebody that's dead. And in this sense, Paul is referring to somebody that has spiritually passed away. When we don't see the purpose of the Lord's Supper, when we don't see the blessing that we have every Sunday morning or every Sunday when we come together as a church, and we don't see the wonderful thing that Christ did for us, we start losing out on that blessing. Eventually, our spiritual lives starts losing focus on what really matters and what really gives us that strength. And we're either going to be being weak, and once we're weak, what happens? A lot of other things start grabbing our attentions. "Hey, it's football season. I don't have to go to church. I'd rather watch football." Well, that's pretty weak. I mean, when you don't understand that, well, I like football too, and it's great. Football, basketball, I'm not nothing against sports, so I don't want all you sports fans being upset at me, but we have to prioritize what comes first, our spiritual life, and our spiritual life above all. Obviously, we'll have opportunities to go to games, to do things, but above all, we can't put other things before coming to church and studying God's Word and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Because we start becoming weak spiritually, and eventually, the more we drift away from being in the church, partaking of the Lord's Supper, we start getting sick. Spiritually, our health starts deteriorating. We even start forgetting the scriptures, the Bible. I mean, before we used to know a lot of scriptures, then, oh, I forgot where that was at. We start getting physically ill. And let's hope that we change before we eventually sleep or fall away. Because then that would be a horrible situation, that we forget the importance of what Christ did for us. It's important that we follow the doctor's instructions. That's the important thing, that we always pay attention to the instructions the doctor gives us. And part of the instructions that's given to us is that we partake of what every Sunday? The Lord's Supper, correct? Part of the instruction is that when we come together as a church, we remember his sacrifice for us. We remember how much it cost. It was expensive that he purchased us with his blood, with his life. And remember that he's the one that gives us the strength. His grace suffices. And that's going to keep us going and give us that strength to succeed. Don't think it's going to be, "Oh, it's because of me or what I have accomplished." No, it's what Christ has accomplished for us. That's what gives us the strength to keep on going. And let's not drift away. The last thing we want to be is like those that fell away in Corinthians. We want to be alive in Christ. We want to be doing strong in Christ. Not weak. We want to be strong. We want to be healthy. We want to be that church that has life, That people see in us life, they see God in us. They see that something different that they are attracted to, that the world can't offer to them, only God. But we have to show it by our faith and our perseverance and coming and being faithful and understanding when we partake of the Lord's Supper, what we're partaking of. Remembering that sacrifice. Remembering it's His power that saves us and not our efforts. Thank you very much, brothers and sisters, for your attention. And I hope everything was understandable. And God bless you all.